Hello, everyone, and welcome to edition 147 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast broadcast straight out of Norfolk, UK, and brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/NRF1. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm sports journalist and sometime F1 correspondent. That isn't all my name. Stopped at Michael Bailey. We are here to preview the season opening Australian Grand Prix at Melbourne this coming weekend. What an absolute treat. And I'm delighted to say, for our pleasure, for my pleasure, I'm joined by two times Beccles Cup champion, Kyle Cumbers. That's the build up you're going to get each time now, Kyle. You happy with that?
Absolutely. It's true.
It is true.
A few years ago now, but
yeah, we did work out what was it, 2008,
2009.
That's not that long ago.
No, I suppose not. Yeah, I suppose Hamilton and Button were champions then, so same year as them.
It was a golden year for karting, especially at Beccles, obviously. Are you all well? Have you had a good winter? The first chance we had to speak to you.
Yeah, pretty good. It's gone quite quickly. Yeah, just looking forward to the new season though.
It has felt like it's sort of. Not, it hasn't felt like it's come around quickly. It's felt like it's taken a while. But do you feel differently?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, sort of. I think just to see the new cars. The excitement for that. With all the Rosberg news and Bottas as well. Looking forward to seeing them.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be very fun. Before we get stuck in, just to let you know, our season preview podcast is available to listen to on your podcast player of choice. Whichever that is, just visit nrf1.uk/pod subscribe to find your link, be it iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast, whatever. We are on all of them. Are you impressed by that, Carl?
Yeah, so many there.
That's a lot of links I had to put together right there. You'll also find our separate season predictions podcast. We won't do it today. We are going to put the predictions actually for the Australian Grand Prix in this podcast tonight, but we will try and separate them in future. If you missed that predictions podcast, you can catch that in the same place, of course. But we did actually miss some out because some came in a little bit late. So we're going to just rattle through a couple of those now, if you will allow me. Stephen Rust, defending champion, two times champion. Kyle, he nicked your championship last year, pretty much.
Stole it. Some interesting tactics towards the end of the season as well.
This is what we're going to be dealing with for the rest of the year. So, Steve's predictions for the 2017 Formula One season: Mercedes Constructors title, Hamilton driver champion, Mercedes to equal last year's number of wins, Ferrari to beat Red Bull in the Constructors Championships. Never knowingly risky, Steve Rust, but there he goes. It is successful for himself. Stuart Hodge is a new guy who's going to be involved in the podcast this season. We're very much looking forward to having Stuart on board. Doesn't have the most striking Norfolk accent. But it's a wonderful accent, and we will all enjoy him on this podcast very much. His predictions, first go at this: Constructors' Championship, Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari in that order. Drivers, Hamilton, Ricciardo, Vettel in that order. Verlaine will do something this year that makes everyone take notice. That's woolly.
What could that be?
We don't know yet because it hasn't happened.
It could be good or bad for Verlaine. Does that mean a spectacular crash, for example?
We'll take judge's decision on that one, but I like it. That's exactly what we're looking for. Jenson Button will land a top TV gig. Doesn't say in Formula One. I mean, they've already announced Noel Fielding, haven't they, as the Great British Bake Off presenter, and with Sandy Toksvig. Otherwise, Jenson probably would have fancied that. This will be Felipe Massa's final year, a year too late, and a dramatic wet British Grand Prix.
Sounds good.
Does sound good. That's why we're excited. So there we go. We missed those. They are now documented. You can all appreciate those. Also, a word here for Andy Whitney, a long-time listener. Good evening, Andy. Or good morning, whatever particular time it is. Thank you so much for getting in touch. As always, he sent the best ever email of season's predictions. I lost it, and then I found it again, although he doesn't know that, but I have found it again. And I can't read them out because it would take the podcast, but we've got it. We're going to document it. Andy's going to helpfully keep track of it because there's a lot in there. Brilliant stuff. We'll have to post it somewhere as well, but they will get fully flown into our prediction league, which you're all open to enter. Anyone can enter. You just get your predictions in, and we'll come onto that more in a moment. Our Australia predictions, of course, will follow later too. But Kyle, your highlight of the winter, have you been following? What have you made of the Formula One over the winter time?
It's probably the highlight, in a way, was Bernie getting the boot.
And it was the boot, wasn't it? Yes. Swift.
And he's come out the last few days and sort of said that he would like to have stayed around for a year. But yeah, he got the boot. I think it's good for Formula One. I think Ross Brawn being involved and looking long term instead of previous years. I mean, you could even include this year's regulations, sort of knee-jerk reactions to a few bad races and one team dominating. So yeah, I think it's going to be very strange not having Bernie around.
It really is, and it is a new era for Formula One, and we don't know whether that era is going to be better or not. That's the reality of it. We obviously very much hope so. I haven't managed to catch a lot of what Bernie said. Obviously, we all knew he'd probably wanted to cling on until he was dead, basically, involved in Formula One. I think that's almost a certainty. But in terms of, was there anything else that sort of caught your attention from what he had to say in those interviews?
He's also trying to erase his history, which I don't really know what he meant by that, because
he's saying he was being a bit secretive and abstract.
Yes, it's just I don't know. I mean, he's got this, what's this role he's been given now?
It's like an ambassador or hanger-on.
Yeah, hanger-on. Yeah. So I hope he still comes to races, because he's always entertaining, wasn't he, Bernie? I mean, he didn't always agree with what he said, but he was entertaining, which I suppose was part of Formula One. But yeah, it was time. And he also described, he's talking about the paddock passes, because I think Liberty wants to provide more paddock passes. And he's sort of saying in America, everybody can get in the paddock. And there's like, I was providing a Michelin star restaurant, and now they want to provide a burger joint type restaurant, which...
But that doesn't that sum up the whole cultural difference between Bernie and what Liberty will no doubt want to do to the sport? And ultimately, it was probably one of the major issues with Formula One, that it was that inaccessible.
Yeah. It became the casual fan, well, even more, or well, distance being greater for the average fan to the paddock. And that's wrong, really. Many sports are going that way, but... it just needs to be closer, and then you attract more fans. Like, you know, the social media in the testing, the teams are actually allowed to show cars in the pit lane. I mean, that's just obvious, isn't it?
It's just basic stuff, bless him. But then, you know, how old is Bernie? 80 something?
87.
He's an old man in a sport that really needed new blood, absolutely. How about the testing observations then? I mean, it's interesting because we did the predictions podcast, and we recorded it, I think, after the first test in Catalunya, but before the second one. Since then, Ferrari seemed to have pulled out some time out of their but then it's testing, so you can never read that much in. You can't read that. We can't suddenly go, oh, well, Ferrari are going to be bang on it this year. Obviously, it's encouraging, but we have no idea, do we? And who could be sandbagging? Who could be doing what?
Yeah, I mean, Ferrari quite strong last year. I mean, we all probably predicted that they would be strong at the start of last year and be competitive with Mercedes. Obviously, that didn't work out. but yeah, probably the only thing we can definitely tell from testing is how bad the McLaren Honda is.
Now, I mean, to the point where we're having, McLaren is seriously saying we're going to have to think about this engine.
Yeah, I mean, is it just a wake-up call or trying to wake up Honda to see what they can do? But
they haven't woken up since they made their first engine.
That's the
they literally haven't woken up yet. Yeah.
You do worry. I mean, you didn't expect them to be the quickest engine this year, but you at least expected them to improve. And you get the impression from Eric Boulier and Alonso and these leaked stories that they haven't improved. The reliability is even worse.
I think you can see the reliability because Honda made the point that they were trying. They've tried to improve and they've taken some risks. So immediately the reliability is going to be fall short. But if there's still not the power, I guess maybe it's not that there isn't the power. It's just that they haven't improved as much as everyone else, which means they are further behind. It's almost like that, isn't it? You can't stand still in Formula One. Standing still is going backwards, Kyle.
And they have taken risks, which they had to do. But I mean, has the engine got a top speed, but they were just running it in a safe mode during testing. We don't know, but the noises that were coming out, you know, McLaren weren't happy, and obviously for them to say that, obviously the engine's in a bad situation. But what do they do? I mean, can they go back to Mercedes and then just become a customer team? I don't know if that's long term, if that's the best way forward. And also, I mean, there's quotes coming out saying, "Oh, it's the best chassis on the grid." There's no proof the last 3 or 4 years is that doesn't back that up. So
it's a nice thing to be able to say when you know that the engine's and it's going to let you down, isn't it? Because who's going to know the answer? The other big thing, probably bigger than that, really, is Force India's livery. Now, I kind of berated it because it was horrendous. The car just didn't look like the look of the car looked the same as last year. All of a sudden, they whop out this pink livery, which I have to say, got all good. That car is going to stand out. Looks great. I don't know. You know, a lot of people sort of feel a bit sick by it. Some people don't like pink. Some people get a bit chauvinistic when they see pink. Nico Hülkenberg, maybe. I don't know. Don't want to do you a disservice, Nico. But I like it now. They've turned it around.
It's just a bit old for one, as in the sponsor sort of decides the livery. It's, you know, like the old sort of 90s and 80s. Yes. And that's just, I mean, it's different. At least to be able to see it on TV. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. Always go different. I think at least this year, a lot of teams have tried to go with a different livery. I mean, going back to McLaren, that just looks cheap. But
you don't like it. I hate it. No, I don't. DT in Dave Tillier in the preview podcast. No, he wasn't having it at all.
No. Also, you see on Twitter, these people that designs these liveries. Why don't they just go to one of them? And it looked. Also, there was a big build-up, wasn't there? The big orange, and they're releasing little bits of this, and they came out and went, "This is rubbish." Also, it doesn't look good when they've got no sponsors.
No, that is an issue, and not only for McLaren too. In terms of the technical advances that you've seen, is there anything that you've gone, "Oh yeah, I've seen there are exhaust, no, there's sort of diffusers in wheels, are there, and air coming out of wheel hubs and all sorts of little things."
I think it was a bit last year, wasn't it?
But
I think they sort of said that it doesn't make a huge difference, but they would have it if it didn't
make
a difference.
They always say that. And likewise with the shark fins, which is, they're all staying for the time being, aren't they?
Yeah, there was talk they might try and get rid of it, but I think they tried months ago, didn't they? And all teams get suspicious of other teams at this point. So why do you want to get rid of it? Ours is doing this. And the little T-wings, which just look downright awful.
You don't like them?
No.
I didn't know.
So, I mean, hopefully they can get rid of them, but that's also part of the... Hopefully, with Liberty and Ross Brawn going forward, we can stop these things coming through, because you kind of got the impression that they rush through these regulations to make the cars quicker, and then they forgot these little bits.
The loopholes. They're not very good at closing those, and we ultimately don't know if these wonderful new ground effects, really fast cars, are going to go so quick no one can overtake each other, which would kill it, let's be honest, especially if Mercedes are that far ahead. We will see, won't we? Anyway, let's do some plugs, shall we? Social media, you can get in touch with us on Twitter and on Facebook. All you need is the handle @thenrf1 for both, or if you want to visit Facebook, go to fb.me/thenrf1. We'll have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us, and sign up over the course of the season. Essentially, everything you need to know you'll find at our website, nrf1.uk, along with some blogs as well. And hopefully Callum Springall has written another blog on Ferrari. He wrote it before they did quite well in the second test, which is why you won't have seen it yet. But it will go up, probably after Melbourne, when Ferrari sort of bang where they should be and where we all expected them to be. And you can, of course, email us. We love hearing from you, especially by email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. This is a message for you, our dear NRF1 listeners. In the last year, there is a young British startup that has shaken up the shaving industry. Over 100,000 men have joined Cornerstone and are now getting a smoother shave than ever before. It's a simple combination of great products, amazing customer support, free delivery, and fair prices that has made Cornerstone the fastest growing shaving company in the UK. It's basically shaving's equivalent to Max Verstappen. They've won numerous awards for their super sharp German engineered razor, just think Mercedes, and outstanding customer support, like a Charlie Whiting hotline, along with endless plaudits from the media, including GQ, Esquire, and the Daily Telegraph. That would be Max Verstappen again. Cornerstone know they need to earn your trust, though, so to let you try their award-winning razor for a fraction of the standard price, with this offer you can get £10 off their razor and get started for just £4. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk and enter the code NRF1 at checkout. Visit cornerstone.co.uk to find out what a smooth shave actually feels like. And if you don't like your Cornerstone razor, Cornerstone will even give you your money back, no questions asked. Now, let's get back to that NRF1 podcast, shall we? So, round one of the 2017 season, Australia, lovely, lovely Melbourne. I love Melbourne, yet of course we've had a bit of talk that Adelaide might come back onto the circuit, yeah, which would be interesting. How would you see that one?
I don't mind either race. Always quite like the Adelaide race. It's got a bit of history as well, so that's always good. But yeah, I quite like Melbourne. It always seems a quite nice start. Loads of fans there. Obviously helps with Ricciardo, Ricciardo.
Yes.
Hopefully they'll have a strong race, so that'll help the future. It's normally quite a good race. It's normally quite unpredictable, and I don't know if that's just because it's the first race or it's because of it's Melbourne.
But. Yeah, that's because it's not a pattern setter, is it? We don't have the first race and go, all right, that's how it'll go this season. Yeah. Generally, although I think there is a stat that a lot of champions have won the opening race, I think. I don't know, I might have just put that off my head. Because I remember Nico winning it and going, nah, among many, many times I said that last year. But it is, it sort of stands alone, doesn't it? And then it's, you don't really know what you're going to get for another three or four races properly.
No, they normally sort of wait till the Spain race, Barcelona, and then you seem to get an order of the cars. Yeah, I mean, sometimes the weather's a bit unpredictable. It's a good race, and the Aussies are quite good at putting a sporting event on. So, it's always good.
Now, we always like asking you about Haas. just generally. How are they feeling this winter? I mean, I should plug here, Daniel Hall. I don't know if he prefers Daniel or Dan. Dan, let me know. Do you prefer Daniel or Dan? We'll make sure we refer to you properly in future. But let's say Dan Hall recorded a brilliant talk about how Kevin Magnussen had kind of been let down a lot by his other teams, and this was a good chance. His move to Haas was a good chance for him to shine this year. So I've no doubt you can listen to that in our, I think it's our prediction podcast, season prediction podcast on the feed. I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting how Haas get on. How are they feeling?
I think quite confident. I don't know, probably not aware of where they are in the grid, but hoping to be in the mid-pack.
I guess no one knows at this point.
No, exactly, yeah. But I think they had a pretty good test, done a lot of laps. I think the driver lineup is pretty strong. That'd be also interesting during the year to see who comes out on top there. Yeah, I think they're quietly confident. I think they're happy with the Ferrari. Yeah, hoping to make a step forward. I mean, I thought, obviously they started so well last year. I mean, was it fifth last year in Australia?
Yeah, it did.
They started really well, and then towards the end of the season they didn't get many points, but overall 28 points I think during the first season is pretty impressive. So,
and again, it's all about the help from Ferrari, isn't it? They've got a revised Ferrari car that I'm sure someone's put a little bit of extra bits and bobs on, so we'll see. I mean, they've got a lot to live up to, really, given how well they did last year. And it'll be really interesting for them. It's going to be interesting for everyone. I love this part of the season. This is always the best part of the season, I think, because it is so, you just do not know what you're going to get. And, you know, it can get a bit staid in the middle of the season. We start talking about other bits and bobs. But I think at the start, it's when it's in its purest form, definitely. Right, let's get Ped on the phone.
Sir?
Hello, you're on speakerphone, Ped. It's me and Kyle. Are you right?
Hello, gents. Yes, I'm very well. How are you?
Good, thanks. Well, I'm gonna try and do this on speakerphone. Are you all right to do it now?
Yeah, go for it. I think you meant I was on speakerphone and I was being recorded.
No, not yet. I should have done that now. You're right. I should have done that. Although, actually, I am recording. I am recording this anyway.
Well, that's it.
Should we just... I'll leave it in.
Leave it in?
Oh, I love it. I'm sure that worked. I'm sure that was absolutely fine.
Okay.
How exciting. Have you had a good day?
Yeah, see, I'm borderline wanting to pretend that actually I'm kind of like on the scene correspondent in Australia.
So are
I
you?
I want to be like, oh, it's like middle of the night here, Michael, and oh, you should see it. But really, I've only just got in, and I am probably only about a 10-minute walk from you. But unfortunately, that is the nature of the day. The day has been a tough one, I'm afraid.
Well, that's rude. That's so rude. Yeah. Never mind. We'll let you off it. But great to have you on for the first time this season. Can you believe it's our sixth season, I think?
It's unbelievable. I mean, it seems like yesterday that we were all sort of sat around doing our end of season review, but then it also seems like only the day before yesterday that you and I did our first ever first ever one, which was a Barcelona preview, I think, wasn't it?
It was in 2012. Yeah. You know who won that race?
Yeah, I know who won that race. Yeah.
If anyone wants to listen to our best bits of 2016, you can hear Perry Hamilton go off on one about Pastor Maldonado, which ultimately is probably one of the best things Formula One has ever had happen.
And if you want to hear more of it, keep listening.
Literally.
Probably go off on him again. At some point this year.
It's going to happen. And DT unveiled, I think Pastor's got a cousin or a nephew who's racing in Formula 3 this season.
Well,
I mean, that is a pathway to Formula 1, Ped.
Michael, please, don't talk down to me. I very well know the pathways to Formula 1, but that's okay because he's not Pastor Maldonado. He's Pastor Maldonado's cousin. I would be happy. Pastor Maldonado's cousin, nephew, uncle, dog, gardener. I don't care, as long as it's not the man himself.
I've set him off again. Do we know what his name is, Kyle?
I can't remember.
Kyle's going to Google it because we didn't get the bottom
Pastor
of that last
Maldonado
time.
Don't.
Well, he's on fire. Right, come on then, Ped. Australian Grand Prix, how much are you looking forward to it?
I am so excited. I am genuinely, I mean, it's the best thing about that Sunday, isn't it? There is nothing else on that Sunday that even matches up to being as monumental as the return of Formula One. I don't care if you've got a mother and it's Mother's Day. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in getting up stupid early and watching some cars race around a track. It's going to be epic.
I've forgotten it was Mother's Day. Yeah, that is going to be an issue. I'll have to work around my diary. What have you made of testing as well? Have you been able to follow much of it?
I've kept up with it. I thought it was very interesting, the situation that, you know, Kimi putting in better times than Vettel. I'm a very humble man after seeing that, because I was, not humble, but I mean, I was last year, I was saying that Kimi needs to go. He's not performing. He's not doing well enough to be in that seat. You know, if you're going to put someone that's supposed to challenge Seb, they need to actually challenge him. You can't have a world champion sat next to Seb Vettel with him acting like a number two driver. That doesn't work. If you're going to have a number two in that seat, it needs to be a number two, you know, legitimately. But he turned it around towards the end of last season, and he's also been very, very quick in testing. Your heart also breaks for McLaren. I did read, and I don't know whether this did this make it to our NRF1 Facebook page. If you go check it out, if it's on there. About McLaren sounding out whether or not they could get a Mercedes engine. Was this on our page, or did I read that separately?
No, it's certainly been around. It would have been somewhere. Yeah. I reckon we probably have had it on our page. And Kyle touched on that earlier too.
Yeah, see, I thought that was a very interesting interesting part of it, because, you know, especially eating their words a little bit, where they said, we cannot win, you know, with that engine. So I seem to recall they said that at some point in the past. I thought it was an odd one, really, from that point of view. But ultimately, it's about how much do you want to win races. Do you want to win races badly enough that you don't believe your current partner can provide that? Well, off you go. Go get your engine. I mean, it really should be. I mean, it should be that desperate for McLaren right now.
We had your predictions in the last season prediction podcast. Thanks for those. I think I read them out. I can't remember them. But you touch on who's going to shine. Who do you think is going to shine this season?
I think, not in terms of shine necessarily, but I certainly think that Lance Stroll is going to outperform Massa overall. Ooh. Because I think we saw last season that Massa is just not quick enough. And also,
He's too old.
Well, he is. Yes, he is. And I was just about to touch on that and say, it's not necessarily just about the age. It's actually about the mentality. So when you look at someone like, say, Lucas Schumacher, who retired and then came back from retirement, but he came back from retirement after a number of years, he'd had enough time to sit at home and get bored, and to actually think, do you know what, I need to get in the right headspace, I need to be mentally prepared to get back into that car along with the best drivers in the world and go around those tracks. Now, Massa had his heart, well, not heart set on it, but his whole body, his whole program, his whole schedule, everything was scheduled to go into retirement. And then suddenly he turns around and comes back from that. Now, as a company, as a team, if I was Williams, I would be absolutely bricking myself, because I would be thinking, this guy's not in it mentally. He's not where he needs to be mentally, physically quite possibly, but he's not where he needs to be mentally to get through this whole season successfully. And what's going to happen when Williams have maybe a couple of issues or a couple of failures, or maybe even he starts to lose to this young kid fair and square? What's going to happen to Felipe Massa's mentality? It's going to take a nosedive. And at that point, he's going to start thinking, I should have just stayed away last season. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I would not be surprised if we even saw a mid-season driver change at Williams and Massa was out and they brought in a younger guy.
Oh, paid on fire. I love this. I also love the fact that his retiring was also him having a contract with Formula E. That's a bit harsh on Formula E, I always think. Just finally, before we let you go, Ped, we need your Australia predictions. Kick off our race predictions, will you please? What's going to happen in Melbourne?
Absolutely, yes, I will. Well, in Melbourne, there is going to be a locked out front row of the grid, but I don't know who it's going to be, but it's definitely going to be locked out by one team, okay?
Okay.
You're not going to have a McLaren in the top 10. I think that's a fairly obvious one, but I've got to get some early points in there. You've got to get your foot in the door, okay? So you've got to start small and work your way up. So there's going to be no McLaren in the top 10 for quali.
Okay.
And there's going to be no, and then the front row is going to be locked out by a team. And I will say, because we've just been talking about him, that young Lance Stroll is going to out-qualify Felipe Massa. Done. I'm going to say that right off the bat. First race, he's going to go out there and he's going to smash it. And I think Danny Ricciardo...
I think he might smash it. Yeah, I do think he might smash it.
Smash it being the opposite word. But I think he's going to do it. And I think Danny Ricciardo, or Ricciardo, yes, if we're going by NRF1 podcast.
Yeah, by correct pronunciation generally, yes, yeah.
He will out-qualify Verstappen. So that's qualifying, put to bed, out of the way, lovely stuff. Now, we're going to roll into the race. I'm going to say Hamilton for the win. This kid's hungry, he's coming back, he's ready to reclaim his title, and he wants to prove to everyone that he was always the alpha there. Nico got lucky, that's why he walked away. This is Hamilton's team, this is Hamilton's year to come back again. So Hamilton's going to win it comfortably. Bottas is going to be third, and I think Vettel is going to be second. That's my prediction. And I think if it is McLaren on the front row, I think Bottas will lose out in the first corner. That's what I think will happen. In that front, I don't think you'll have a single McLaren finish the race. So I know what Rich's predictions are, and I know that goes against what he said, but I don't think you're going to have a McLaren finish the race. And I think you're going to have a top six finish for a Force India.
There we go. In their pink livery. A word for the pink livery?
I like it. Not against it. Definitely not against it.
That was pretty much one word. Brilliant stuff, Ped. Thank you so much for doing this on the phone. That was fun. We'll do that again. But
it's my pleasure. I promise you next time I will be there in person, although maybe not because I may be out of the country for the next one. But if I am, I'll phone something in.
Where are you going?
I'm off. I'm off on my honeymoon next week, Michael. You know this.
Oh, of course.
I'm off to beautiful Hawaii.
Oh, that's where we end this conversation now because I'm steeped in jealousy. Have a brilliant time, my man.
You too, sir. Good to speak to you, Carl. Take care.
See you, Ben.
Bye.
See you later.
Are we actually going to hang up? Yes. Oh, he has actually hung up. I thought we might have a continue with the conversation there, but there we go. Brilliant stuff from Ped, as always. What a top man he is. And if you like those predictions, you're going to get a few more. Shall we get to the ones that we've got on my phone for the Australian Grand Prix? What have we got? First off then, Mr. Richard Baxter. We know he's a lively one. What would you like to describe him as a predictor in one word, Carl?
Optimistic.
Wait till you hear these. Number one, McLaren will have a car finish the race. Good luck with that, mate. Two, three different teams to finish in the top three of the race.
It's a decent prediction.
Sort of opposite to Ped's prediction for qualifying. Three, Esteban Ocon to finish ahead of Sergio Perez.
I think Ocon can have a good season this year.
Yeah, he'd be my one to keep an eye on. Four, Lance Stroll to finish in the top 10. Woof. And number five, a safety car or virtual safety car at some point in the race. Sounds likely.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as optimistic as Rich has been before. So maybe he's taken it seriously this year.
Maybe. Oh, bless him. He always takes it seriously. That's not the issue. Brilliant stuff. So well done. Thank you for those, Rich. And of course, the big thing is if you guys want to get in your predictions for the race, all you need to do is get them to us before the start of FP1. You can do it on all our social media channels, email them, whatever you want to do. If you want to be a part of the league, it's open to everyone. Make them as random as possible. Obviously, the judge's decision is final. We have a special algorithm as well to make it all work.
Which only I know.
Top secret, yeah. It still hasn't made me win, though. It's really, I keep trying. 3 years I've been second, I think, or four even. Ridiculousness. So, yeah, all you need to do before the start of FP1, get those predictions in, and we'll see how life develops over the course of the season. Kyle, what are your predictions for the Australian Grand Prix? He turns to his phone. Unlike me, I have no idea what I'm going to predict. Kyle is already on it.
We should mention Manuel Maldonado.
Manuel Maldonado. What a name. We're going to be following him, aren't we? I can tell.
He could be making significant statements in his young young career this year. Hopefully that'd be good. I mean, it'd be quite cool if he did come through and was competing.
Well, Ped doesn't seem to worry about it carrying through the family, so that's good.
only got it against Pastel.
Yes.
Yes, my predictions. I'm going to go for Lewis Hamilton pole. It's not that crazy, but I think as Ped said, we'll be looking to bounce back after last year. I'm not too sure about Force India this year. Obviously, the livery's great, but sometimes they're quite a slow starter. So I'm going for one Force India out in Q1. And also, I'm going for Van Dorn to qualify ahead of Alonso.
Oh, wow. Fernando will love that.
Because it'll be interesting to watch Fernando this year. I mean, if it's as bad as we all are worried about the Honda engine, where's his motivation going to be this year? Is he going to be that interested in Formula 1? I'm not convinced he'll stay the season with McLaren. So yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. But I'm going to go for a Vettel win.
What? Where? What? Why? Are you?
I think Mercedes are still the strongest car, but he's nearly won the last two Australian Grand Prix. So bad strategic options. So yeah.
Yeah, Ferrari do that.
Yeah, they're known for that. But yeah, I'm going for a little outsider Vettel to win.
Are you going to do some betting tips?
Yes. Hopefully next couple of days.
So get you an eye on nrf1.uk before each race weekend. Kyle will get the best bets. And we were making a tidy profit last season, yeah, so hopefully we'll have them over the course of the season.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for a bit of, maybe looking at my betting predictions, a bit of money in Vettel to win. I think Bottas will be on the podium. And I've got to make a Haas prediction. I think Haas will be in the points this weekend. Oh. And that's my, they're my predictions.
By the way, there is no way I'm putting money on Sebastian Vettel to win the race. My prediction will start with Lewis taking fastest lap, pole, and the race win. He will do the lot there. That will be that. Thank you very much. That reliability, the way that car goes, will be absolutely fine. Be honest, wouldn't surprise me if Bottas was the second fastest qualifying lap, second fastest fastest lap during the race, and probably finishes P2. And I'm not saying that is how things are going to go for the rest of the season, but if I was to put my money on, that's exactly where that would go. I think we'll see Daniel Ricciardo finish ahead of Max Verstappen. I think there could be an element of second season syndrome a bit about what Max gets up to this season. We'll have to see. I don't entirely believe it because I think he's got phenomenal talent, but I just think maybe this time Ricciardo home race. And of course, was it last year when he was on the podium and then it got taken from him, or was it the year before that?
The year before that.
Yeah. So he'll still be a little bit twitchy about that. Was he on the podium last year then?
No, I think. Was it Rosberg, Hamilton, Vettel? Possibly.
Yeah, Ricciardo was fourth last year, and then it must have been the year before when he had it taken off him. So, I mean, poor, Daniel, it would be lovely if he finished on the podium. It's hard to tell between Red Bull and Ferrari. That's a sticking point. I think Red Bull have been open that they're not quite at Ferrari's level. Have they kind of said that?
Yeah, they've come out. I think Max Verstappen said that they can win this weekend, and they said from sort of middle of the season they're looking to sort of catch up with Mercedes. So,
well, that doesn't involve Ferrari then.
So yeah, I think nobody really knows where Ferrari are. Everybody's a bit suspicious of Ferrari
as per usual. The general state of affairs. I don't like the way Williams are going about things. I think Williams are going to struggle to get any significant points. They'll have probably only one car that finishes in the points. I think you'll see Kevin Magnussen finish ahead of Nico Hülkenberg. I think that will be a nice little juxtaposition. And let's add one more. So who have we got as debutant, or not debutant, but full rookie seasons? They've all raced before, but I guess full rookie seasons. We've got Esteban Ocon and Stoffel Vandoorne and Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
They're the three?
They're the three, I think, yeah. There's nobody else, is there?
No. So, because it's Kevin Magnussen at Haas, Sauber is Nasr, and is it Nasr and then Ericsson again?
Ericsson and Wöhrlein.
Oh, and Wöhrlein, that's gone. Right, yeah. Nasr's gone. And the rest are all there, yeah.
Is it, yeah.
So, out of the three full rookies who are starting their full rookie season, Ocon, Stoffel Vandoorne,
yeah.
And Esteban Ocon, Stoffel Vandoorne, and Lance Stroll,
yeah.
I think Ocon will finish the best out of those three. No, I think he'll qualify the best out of those three. I think Stoffel will finish highest.
Wow. And McLaren getting to the end.
I don't know how they'll do it, but they'll do it. Why not? I like Stoffel. We'll see how he gets on. They're my predictions. I got a bit in a muddle, but I'm sure they're all there. Hallelujah. And I think we're done. I've already said how you can get involved with the Prediction League, so do that. On our feeds, I chat to Norfolk Boy and Formula BBC Formula One presenter Jake Humphrey. Of course, he's also of Whisper Films. Make sure you listen to that. It's a great little chat. If you get a few minutes, check out our brand new YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube. It's on YouTube, obviously. That's for our own take on winter testing as we go karting. Not quite as good at it as Kyle. If you like karting in F1, I'm sure you'll like the video. But that's it. Thank you so much for Ped for joining us on the phone. To all you for listening. Kyle, thanks for your company.
Thank you.
And we will be back very soon. But a big thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. It's nearly here, people. What a time to be alive. Enjoy the action, and as always, we will see you on the other side of Melbourne. Until then, goodbye.